Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' win in Cleveland, their 13-game road winning streak. We'll hear from Steph Curry and Steve Kerr. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, 13 straight wins on the road, and the last one that we're going to talk about is the win over the Cavs. So the Warriors win both games against the Cavaliers this season in the regular season, which is, you know, always special. It, you know, always feels like a big game. And, you know, this game didn't start very well for either team defensively. It just seemed like nobody was playing defense on Monday in Cleveland. And then the Warriors seemed to turn it up a notch there in the second half, especially, you know, fourth quarter. They really limited Cleveland, and, you know, that seemed to be the key to winning the game.
Well, yeah, the Warriors' depth really came through, I think, in the second half. The second unit played very well early in the fourth quarter, at least defensively. I mean, they weren't terribly good offensively, but they did enough. And then the Hamptons Five closed it out. But I think that's the main thing. You saw, you know, the big gap as far as depth. You know, what the Cavaliers are bringing off the bench, it's just not as effective. I mean, the Warriors, in the end, I think, had a four-point edge off bench points. But the key segment was there, I think, early in the fourth quarter. And then LeBron comes back in, and they can't make any headway with him on the court, and Curry and Durant not on the court. So, you know, that was, I think, the key moment. They played much better defense in the second half. You might have seen Steve Kerr on TV between the first and second quarters saying it was defense optional so far. And, you know, he said, at some point we got to play defense. Well, that point wasn't in the first half. There's no doubt about that. Cavaliers shot well over 50%. They put up 64 points, but only 44 in the second half. Their shooting percentage plummeted. I think it was 26% in the fourth quarter. So the Cavaliers are left to wonder from the stories I'm reading, Joe, about, you know, where this is going. They've had a real rough stretch of late. People, you know, everybody's going to talk about how LeBron needs help. And I think he does. They're going to have to make some kind of deal. The question is going to be, do they want to give up that Brooklyn Nets first-round draft choice to get a player in? But I think they do need a little help. And I think you know, if you could get a good wing defender. Some people have been talking about DeAndre Jordan defending in the middle. Anything that would help them defensively, because that's where they're really lacking.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Thomas really hasn't helped them as much as they thought he would. I mean, he goes 8 for 21 from the field in this game. And, you know, I don't know that they're a team that's really in sync. They, you know, you look at the Warriors and the way their offense rolls, and it really is no comparison.
No, it's no comparison on either end of the floor. I mean, they've got LeBron, though. And, you know, I just can't ever count out LeBron. They could scuffle during the regular season, figure it out, and they could still win the Eastern Conference. I mean, Toronto's better. Boston is a serious challenge. I think a lot of people would favor Boston. But I just still can't count out Cleveland, especially if they make a deal to help themselves defensively and get a little more punch off the bench. I will say, you know, Isaiah Thomas is just coming back. He's not 100% yet. He said he doesn't have his legs under him yet, and that's pretty clear. So I'd like to see him at 100% and see how that looks. I still think they're going to get a run going here sooner or later, start playing some better basketball. But no, they're not in sync right now.
Now, LeBron put up the numbers again, even though they lost a 32 points and 6 assists and 8 rebounds. I mean, he still does it all for that team. But, you know, Kevin Durant also at 32 points. And, you know, there's that discussion about MVP. Of course, LeBron's always going to be in it. But I was watching Inside the NBA, Ray, after the game on TNT, and they were talking about how they think Durant is now the front runner. And, you know, Charles Barkley wasn't thinking that way a few weeks ago or a month ago or whatever. But once Durant started playing so great when Steph was out, that sort of convinced him. And, you know, I'm on board with that. I think Durant is the MVP right now. What do you think? I know you've been saying that too.
Yeah. I mean, he's a serious candidate, without a doubt, for what he does at both ends of the floor. I would throw in Steph Curry there as well, because they did play well when he was out, but after about 10 games, they're really starting to struggle, and he gave them a jump start when he came back in. They started looking like the Warriors that we remember. Both, I think, are legit serious MVP candidates, but if you look at the expanse of the entire season, and what Durant does defensively, could be on the all-defensive team as well as being an elite scorer. Absolutely, he's a dead-on serious MVP candidate. And, you know, all the usual suspects will be there, but I put him over Harden. I put him over Westbrook right now, and LeBron's always going to be in the conversation. But I would say at this moment, KD has my vote.
More Dubs OT right after this.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
You know, Curry, there was talk about that maybe they should have televised the selection of the All-Stars. What do you think of that? Because that's going to be interesting to see, you know, when he decides who is on his team, on the All-Star team.
Well, yeah. I mean, because there's always going to be that little intrigue. Who likes who? It's like, you know, the schoolyard game here, only it's the best players in the world. I'd like to see that. I think that would be the one moment of tension in the whole All-Star weekend, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's not the game, right? So at least have that. Other than that, I don't take it too seriously anyway. I mean, I enjoy watching the three-point shooting contest and the dunk contest. I think probably more so the three-point shooting contest. I barely watch the game, and it sounds like the players barely watch the game as well, you know, until the last few minutes of the fourth quarter. But that add a little spice to it, I guess.
It seems like every week we talk about Jordan Bell and his progress, and he didn't play a lot of minutes in this game against the Cavs, and there were a couple times where, you know, maybe he was lost a little bit on defense, but he's still an exciting guy to just take a look at every game that he's out there. And, you know, it's curious because Steve Kerr, his minutes for him have been sort of inconsistent, but you know that he's going to be valuable, in certain games, in certain matchups.
Absolutely. And I think this was one of those matchups where they thought he could help out. He was a little better in the first half than he was in the second half. He kind of got lost defensively. And I think it's all part of the learning curve for him. But they started him instead of Zaza Pachulia because, you know, the Cavaliers were going with the Kevin Love at the five and trying to space things out. So you got to get a guy who can cover a little more ground, and Bell is certainly that guy. He can guard multiple positions, but I still think there are going to be times where he is going to get burned, and you saw that in the second half, and Steve Kerr called a quick timeout and put in a replacement, and actually in the start of the fourth quarter, as we mentioned, that second unit was far more effective. Listen, this guy is going to end up being one of the steals of the draft. I certainly believe that. As time goes on, he's going to be their center. It's going to be a very intriguing combination with all the other skills that they bring to the table. The thing I think is a problem for him in that game yesterday that you see from time to time is indecisiveness on the offensive end of the floor. He's got to, at some point, develop confidence in a consistent mid-range jump shot because it's going to be there for him. And I've seen him do it. I think as time goes on, you'll see that part of his game. He's not a bad passer, but I think there were moments of indecision yesterday on that. And you also got to remember, and Steve Kerr pointed it out, that he came in cold. He was sat for a couple of games, and this is the one little drawback with all that depth. You have players like Zaza or JaVale McGee or, in this case, Jordan Bell, who sit a couple of games, and then they got to come back in and be sharp, and it's not always that easy.
Yeah, well, let's listen in to what Steve Kerr said after the game about what Jordan Bell can learn about being in a game like this against the Cavaliers on the road.
Everything. You know, you play against one of the best teams in the league on the road, national TV. You know, you feel the butterflies. You have to study the game plan. You have to know everything going in. You have to know player tendencies. So you just learn. And this is why being a rookie is hard. There's so much coming at you all the time. But Jordan's had a great season, and he's a really good listener, and he's very coachable, and he's doing a good job.
And Steph Curry also talked about Jordan Bell and his confidence. Let's hear what Steph Curry had to say.
I mean, obviously, it's a huge learning curve, and he's handled it well. I think he's out there with confidence. He's trying to make the right plays. He's playing with a lot of energy. And I think offensively, it'll continue to come, just understanding where his moments are to be aggressive. And, you know, as a rookie thrown out in that position, you don't really know what to expect, and I think he's held his own. So that'll be huge for us, you know, come playoff time. If, you know, we're playing a team that wants to go small, and you can't play traditional bigs like Zaza and JaVale. You know, him and Looney providing huge minutes at that five spot, it would be big for us.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear what Curry has to say about how the offense will come. It sounds like Curry agrees with you, Ray, that, you know, he sees potential there. And those matchups, like he said, when you get to the playoffs as far as the small ball and the fifth spot, whether it be Bell or Looney, that's going to be really important. That's where the depth comes into play with some of those young players.
Yeah, he's going to be an important guy. There's no doubt about it. And you got to get him as much experience as possible. And the more he plays, I think the more confidence he's going to gain. But there will be, you know, a step forward, a step back, step forward, step back for a while. And I think that's what he's going through right now. You get past the 40-game mark for these college players, and they've never played more than 40 games, 42 games, you know, in a college season. So this is the time of the year, especially on a long road trip where, you know, maybe they wear down mentally or physically. But like I said, he was just out for a couple of games. So I'd agree. You know, the offense will come. Knowing what he's supposed to do in that offense, he'll figure it out as time goes on. I mean, he's really made a nice impact already in just the first half season of his rookie year. So there's a lot of time here to develop. But I do think he's going to be an important guy going into the postseason against certain teams.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
You know, I think it's rare that we would be talking about dunks because dunks happen yes. All the time in the NBA. And it's kind of ho-hum after a while. But when you have Steph Curry dunking, you have Kevin Durant just flying over LeBron James for that one-hand slam. You even had LeBron with that, back-to-the-basket reverse dunk. And then the left hand from David West on that jam. I mean, you know, Marv Albert kept going, stuff with the stuff, the jam. You know, it was exciting to see those kind of dunks because, you know, you see them a lot, but these were sort of extraordinary. What'd you think?
Yeah. I think it was a jolt of energy. This is a team that, you know, gets energy from three-point shots in transition. But to see them, get the old-school jolt from these dunks was kind of fun. The Durant dunk was visceral. I felt it from 2,000 miles away, but the one that got everybody going was the Curry dunk. There's no doubt about it. First of the season, as he mentioned after the game, it was a unicorn, and then right. I guess he got about six or seven questions about the dunk. You know, And then Durant said, I hope his body recovers from that tomorrow. And you know, on a sort of a bum ankle on top of everything else, he was able to get some lift and get up there. I think that one really lit a fire under the bench. So maybe we'll see another dunk before the season goes on. But, yeah, we all know that. It's not his game. You know, Clay has a few more dunks. Zaza has a few more dunks, but still a pretty close competition. That's not what he's about. And it's what makes him so remarkable, too, the fact that he generally plays below the rim and can still dominate a game. I don't think, Joe, he's back yet to where he needs to be physically, but he's pretty close. He's not 100%, though. I think that's clear, but he's still a pretty damn effective player. So, you know, hopefully he stays healthy for the rest of the season, and we'll see the guy that we saw in the postseason last year.
Are you worried about the ankle with Steph Curry? I mean, do you think that, you know, it could come back at some point?
Yeah, sure, it could always come back. I mean, it's kind of been a nagging thing for him, especially this year, so you can never discount it. But I like the fact that they didn't rush him back. You know, he wanted to play against Cleveland on Christmas Day, and they said, no, there's no use in that. And I totally agree with that. So they didn't rush him back. So, you know, hopefully with the treatment he's received, he's good to go the rest of the way. Now, we know, I mean, there's so much randomness in basketball, you know, feet landing on feet and things like that. There's always a risk it could happen again. But he seems pretty sound now. And, you know, again, you just keep your fingers crossed that nothing weird happens. And you remember a couple of years ago, it was just nothing but weirdness for Steph in the postseason, including, you know, slipping on the Moti Unis flop sweat in Houston. You know, and, right, and wrenching his knee. So, I mean, that's kind of the randomness of the game. And you play so many games, and you play so deep into the season. Sure, the risk is there. But that's, again, where the depth helps him out and where Kevin Durant can be that elite scorer if Steph's not in there. But so I guess the short answer to your question is, yeah, I guess I'm a little concerned about it, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You just play the games, and you hope it works out.
Back with more Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
All right, so meanwhile, while the Warriors were beating the Cavaliers, after that in L.A., there was a real highly charged game between the Clippers and the Rockets, and the Clippers won that, and the Clippers are playing pretty well lately. I mean, they're really getting a lot of scoring from Lou Williams. He's been spectacular. He scored 31 in that game, and Blake Griffin was good before he got ejected. It really got ugly at the end of that game. That was the return of Chris Paul to L.A. as a Rocket. And I don't know if it had a lot to do with that or just, you know, these teams sort of just got into it at the end. You know, there was that ball that was saved by Blake Griffin where he threw it off Gordon and just fired it off his back and, you know, bumping into the coach, you know, and, you know, some words exchanged there with Mike D'Antoni and Blake Griffin. And it really got ugly at the end of that game.
Well, it ended up being, you know, meet me at the bike racks at 3 o'clock after school.
Right. They were trying to get into the locker room, right? The Rockets were. Players on the Rockets were trying to get in after some players in the Clippers.
Yeah, and I guess the NBA is reviewing that now, and so we'll find out, you know, as we speak now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen long term, but there are going to be some penalties for this without a doubt. But we knew this was going to be a chippy game, right? We knew there were going to be emotions. We just had no idea that it would go to that point. But from what we understand, Capella knocked on the front door. And they opened the door and saw him and slammed the door. And I don't know whether he was a decoy or not. But, of course, Chris Paul knows the back entrance to the locker room there at Staples Center after playing there all those years. And so three guys came in the room. They wanted to have words with Austin Rivers. And apparently there's some bad blood with Blake Griffin as well. You know, or at least he feels some sort of way about Blake Griffin, does Chris Paul. So Yeah, there was a whole lot going on there, and I'm just wondering if those guys got in the locker room where their Doc Rivers locked the doors and said, "Now you guys can't leave," like in A Bronx Tale. You
know, right.
It could have gone there. I mean, once you go in somebody else's locker room, I mean, that was crazy. So, yeah, that was one that probably slipped a lot of people's attention on the East Coast. They had gone to bed the last game of the day on the holiday, and not in the spirit of the day, I might add. That was not peace, love, and togetherness. They're far from it.
Yeah, the Clippers are kind of an interesting team. I mean, they're just above 500. They start out the season well, then they didn't play so well, and they've had injuries and everything. But I don't know. They're playing really hard. Lou Williams is definitely one of the more exciting players right now in the NBA.
Yeah, we've had a conversation about the Clippers before and how they're just kind of hanging in there. I saw where Patrick Beverley tweeted after all that it's not the same culture in L.A., no more of that soft bleep, as he put it. So, you know, Beverly will bring that attitude. There's no doubt about that. But one of the things that has happened here is Lou Williams has gotten more playing time. It's, you know, taken control of the offense in some games. And we saw that last week, didn't we? When he dropped 50 on the Warriors and is, you know, just one of a handful of players in history that have gotten through the season without having... Well, let me rephrase that. He's just one of a handful of players who have scored 50 against the Warriors, an opponent, in their long history. That guy, I mean, he can score on anybody anytime if he's got it going. I will say last week they didn't make much of an effort to defend him. That was one of their games where the defense kind of came and went. But he is really something else, one of the best pure scorers in the game. And he's got free reign right now, and he ends up being offensive, or I think he was player of the week for the Western Conference. So, that's a team that, you know, probably won't go far in the playoffs, but I think they're playing a little better than a lot of people thought they would.
You know, looking at this road trip and having 13 straight road wins, just amazing. But you know, when you first looked at it, you thought, you know, this is going to be pretty difficult because you've got Antetokounmpo with Milwaukee, Warriors win there, Warriors give up a big lead in Toronto, but still hang on and win. And that's a good Raptors team that could make some noise in the postseason. They beat the Cavs. Now it's Chicago on Wednesday and then Houston on Saturday. Two more on this road trip. But, you know, the Warriors, you expect them to do well, you know, even on the road. But I don't know. This really kind of looked like, okay, the road winning or, you know, the winning streak probably going to end at some point on this road trip. And, you know, they just kind of figure things out here in the first three games.
Well, the last game in Houston, that will be, what, the third game in four nights at the end of a long trip. But I think they'll be up for that game, whether Harden is in there or not. I think they want to put a little more distance between themselves and Houston. And then, you know, they've got a pretty decent gap right now. That Chicago game does concern me a little bit. You know, they're not a great team right now as far as record, but they have played really well in the last month. They've won 14 of the last 21. And so... And they got Levine back as well, and he's just you know, getting his sea legs after the knee injury. You know, they're a team that's playing with a lot of confidence right now, and it's a different type of style. So that's a game where I just kind of look at it and say, yeah, you know, be careful. That I wouldn't call it a trap game, but you know, after the emotions of Cleveland and over the weekend in Toronto, that's a game that you don't want to slip out of your attention span. I will say this, and Steve Kerr has mentioned it, and we've mentioned it before. The focus with which they play on the road, it's so much better than they are at home. For some reason, they roll out some really rough efforts at times at home. They're 16-6 at home, much better on the road. Like you say, have that winning streak. So something about getting out there, especially on these long trips, they hunker down and they get down to business. They put up 81 on Toronto in the first half against a very good defensive team on the second night of a back-to-back after winning in Milwaukee. That was pretty impressive stuff. Now, they almost threw it all away.
Yeah, they did.
but they got it done. And then a very impressive second-half performance in Cleveland. They've done some really good things on this road trip after a really stale effort against the Clippers. So they've overcome some obstacles, including cold showers on this road trip.
That's right. Well, the homestand coming up is going to be great. I mean, you got the Knicks coming in, the Timberwolves on the 25th, which is what, next Thursday, and then the mm-hmm. Celtics on Saturday, the 27th, and a little revenge there because the Warriors lost that game in Boston. I know anytime You're looking for motivation. You could find it if it's a team that you lost to earlier in the year. And Boston is having a really good year, even though they lost Gordon Hayward on day one. They've really put it all together. I mean, Kyrie Irving, that team has been better, I think, than a lot of people thought after that Hayward injury.
I thought they'd be a challenger for the top spot in the East, but they are playing even better than I thought without Hayward. And Kyrie has been just tremendous. And, that's something that Cleveland is, I think, really missing, is that edge right now that they have with Kyrie and another elite scoring option. I mean, Isaiah Thomas can go off, as we know, and I think he will have those games, but he's a liability defensively. He's just not big enough to defend anybody. So, again, that goes back to what Cleveland's big problem is. Kyrie was not a great defender, but he could on certain nights be effective, and then you just get the consistent elite scoring from him. That's something I think Cleveland really misses. And then you go back to, well, was this another deal they made to appease LeBron? You know, it's all about keeping LeBron in Cleveland. Well, those days may be over after this season. So the real intrigue will be if the Cavaliers try to make a deal before the trade deadline and try to close the gap a little bit on Boston. But Boston's been great, and they've got one of the best coaches in the game, I think, in Brad Stevens.
Oh yeah,
and they're good, you know, and they're going to continue to get draft picks on top of that. So they're a team that's going to be there for a while. And the young talent that they have that's starting to blossom, it's going to be rough for a team like Cleveland to keep pace. I think Boston is going to be the team on top of that conference for a few years to come.
All right, Ray. Well, our next podcast is going to be on site at Toscalito Tire and Automotive in Marin. And that's going to be on Saturday, the 27th. So next Saturday, the 27th, I encourage everybody to check us out there. We'll have all the details for you on Twitter, at Ray Woodson 925 or at The Sports Virus. We'll inform you of what we're doing as far as what time and to show up. We'll give away some free T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun to be out on site and actually be together. You and I, you know, we don't see each other that often on this podcast. We're talking on the phone. It'll be good to be face-to-face and really get into this.
Yeah, it'll be fun to be out there. And seriously, I might have them change out some tires for me.
That's
about that
idea.
Time.
I know, that's the last thing you think about. You're driving around, you don't really realize, wait a minute, my tires are bald. I didn't think about that. You know, I'm thinking about my oil or whatever, and the roads are wet. You're going to want to have good tires on your car. Good point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, when you have old tires and you put on the new ones, you notice the difference right away. It feels like you're rolling out a velvet carpet. All right, exactly. So Toscalito Tire can steal that.
There you go. All right, Ray, I'll see you next week.
All right, see you, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.